Greek literature has been often structured and produced, perhaps even the socialized unconscious. Literature is the socialized unconscious. Is a few pages from chapter 2 of my most recent novel, Orphanum. And I chose that part of the book because it shows two examples of unconscious materials being employed in order to push a narrative forward. I will read one paragraph of chapter 2, the first paragraph, just to give you an idea of how it sounds in English. You will then hear the full passage read to you in Italian, after which I think we'll take questions if there are any. So here is the first paragraph of chapter 2 in English. They're not aware of the character they're upbringing until much later, when they can look back and regard it with some objectivity. This was never the case for Jack and me. We were born into an old family, and we knew at the time that our childhood was privileged. Also, that it was eccentric in its lack of structure, largely because our father, emotionally speaking, was almost entirely absent. My mother died when I was 3 years old, and Jack just an infant, so neither of us had any real memory of her. My father did not remarry, nor would he ever speak of that perfect woman without becoming more and tearful, which Jack and I found embarrassing and making him ridiculous. Gerald was 5 years my senior, but we never saw much of him, as he always seemed to be away at school. Esther, how does the unconscious come up to the surface? How does it break through? I suppose if there is some weakness, some break in the surface, and certainly when I wish a character to be overwhelmed by unconscious energies, terrors, I put them into a state of drunkenness, or drunkenness, or insanity, or passion. There are other states of mind, I think, that we become, I think, most vulnerable to the unconscious when structures of control are weakened in such ways. Francesco, I wasn't aware of being influenced by a terrorist group. I see the connection now. There is, in both books, a relationship between a servant and a master. In the Turner schools, the servant serves their children, and this relationship becomes distorted, inverted. We see power shifting from the servant, or rather the master to the servant. I'm sure at an unconscious level that influenced me. As regards William James, I haven't read him, but I'm aware that he was very supremely important in establishing the truth that many different forms of psychological experience are possible to us, and that man is inherently better This was a very important event to come to us when it did in the Victorian period. Perhaps a large topic, which I don't think we can really explore for the reason. I'd like to say that depression in particular could be in something positive or useful or creative. But I don't think it is. I think we are only positive and useful and creative when we have a certain sort of tranquility, a certain stability, when we have some order in our lives, in our minds, and when we begin to lose that tranquility, that sense of order, I think we become casual in life. And I think we were traditionally, at that point, that we wanted to that we treat this disturbance that prevents us from functioning as we develop it, that we see it for good and approach it in that way. What a trouble to present a sister who had very strong and a very unconditional love of her brother. She sees her brother as a hero. At the same time, she is aware that her brother is not perfect. The veil is not a curtain. She can glimpse some of the flaws in her brother, but she cannot fully accept the very negative portrayal of him that she gets from her brother's lover. And so here is a woman incompetent as to the true nature of the man she loves, who is not her husband, but that rather different and more complicated man in a woman's life, her brother. It was a very interesting sort of relationship to explore in a novel, and I'm glad you think it worked, because this is what what you have just expressed is what I was hoping to do. And very much like you in the day, of course. Thank you. This is the sort of question I think one can only answer for oneself. I can't generalize, right? Speaking only for myself, I would say that what you say is true, that if you do go deep into your own self, as you described, you probably agree with that. When I was a young man, I found that this was certainly happening, and it was for that reason that I began to write. I was able to take those feelings and displace them, project into other characters, invented characters who were reflections of parts of myself. I was able to tell stories in which I could discharge some of the anxiety which I felt. And so for me, the cure man of obsessive introspection was the writing of fiction. And I've been writing fiction ever since, for keep these down.